clearly related to the agreement that was made between the previous government and the International Monetary Fund, as well as the adoption of policies that we have repeatedly seen in different countries of the world, and specifically in Argentina, which include the reaction of government investments. And this action causes a large part of the economy to shrink. In fact, the health sector and education sector were damaged. Argentina has always been proud of these two sectors, public health and public education. Despite the fact that a candidate suddenly comes along and pursues the elimination of government systems and seeks complete privatization of education and health sectors, the majority of people, at least the part that participated in the election, chose this candidate. But today, they're clearly tired of the past experiences. They are tired of pushing themselves towards the great powers, or in some cases dealing with centralized or imperialist interests, but never severing their fundamental connection with capitalism and still having their country depend on it. They are tired of the fact that only one or few specific strata in the society benefit, and at the same time, they try to have a level of freedom through which they can direct the political performance of the governments in the direction of their desire. But this issue showed its ineffectiveness over time, because in practice, for the majority of the society, this meant a continuous lowering of the standard of living conditions. After all, there were many things that made Argentines proud, such as workers' rights, the workers' social security system, which is undoubtedly an indicator of superiority compared to other countries, and also compensation regulations, the defense of workers' interests in lawsuits, and the consideration of workers in legislation. Regarding these indicators, Argentina was far ahead compared to other countries. But today, none of these things are important anymore, because the number of people who have official works and their jobs are registered is decreasing. Their jobs are completely low and informal, and for this reason, these so-called useless benefits, which include part of the working class, do not benefit the rest. There is no pension, compensation, or social security for them. These benefits do not include a part of the society whose number is growing. Therefore, in such a situation, the possibility of responding to political parties which have been in power in the past years has decreased. And the common discourse in extreme right-wing parties around the world has spread here as well. And they say that politics was the cause of this issue, and they blame politics. They deny movements that bring progress and say that public health and government jobs are harmful. They say government costs are the biggest problem. This discourse has penetrated a large part of the society, and now it has led to the election of President Milei. This discourse still has a level of acceptability, although its specific effects were very severe from the beginning. In the past, we have talked about these issues and the shock doctrine, deep and radical changes against the vast majority of the society, the loss of workers' rights, the destruction of the scientific system, the destruction of the government health structure through the elimination of funding. Similar efforts have been made for this purpose in our country and other Latin American countries. What these efforts have in common, however, is that they have been swift and violent and have publicly threatened to suppress any popular protests and dissent.
Let's pause here. Regarding this threat of repression, yes, well, there was a background, someone paved the way for us to get here, and you explained it very well. We'll take a short break and be right back with Jorge Ramirez, union leader and public university lecturer in Argentina.
Estamos acá, ¿no es cierto?, con Jorge Ramírez y continuamos en Negro y Blanco. Jorge, inmediatamente instalada o instalado el gobierno.
Here we are with Jorge Ramírez, and we continue Black and White. Jorge, immediately after the start of the Milei government, we saw demonstrations which were covered very well by the Chilean press, and it was definitely talked about in all Spanish-speaking countries and all countries of the world. What are these demonstrations? What sections of society do they represent? And finally, what is the content of the demonstrations? And do you refer to this as a spontaneous movement?
¿O es algo muy espontáneo?
Bueno, hay un poco de cada componente. Por un lado,
yes, a number of people from every political spectrum were present in this demonstration. On the other hand, there are calls from the leftist groups, various leftist groups that call at the same time as the anniversary of that memorable event in the history of Argentina, December 20, 2001. On this date, huge crowds of Argentines across the country took to the streets and defied the martial law and overthrew a neoliberal government led by Fernando de la Rúa. During this anniversary, a call was announced which coincided with the 10th day of the start of the Milei government. This demonstration was generally organized by human rights organizations, various groups in the left wing, and some social organizations. Participation by groups close to the previous government was low, preferring to use social media for criticism to avoid the repercussions, as the government had announced early on that it would use force to crack down and warned that it would not allow the streets to be closed. And considering these conditions, they tried to hold demonstrations on the sidewalks because passers-by are not important to the government and cars are the problem. Therefore, thousands of people tried to demonstrate on the sidewalks, but this did not happen. People demonstrated, but with caution to avoid falling into the trap of incitement. But the media, most of the media, expressed their concern about the possibility of violence and closing the streets and said that this is the main problem. It's as if people don't want food, education, or health, and they try to block the street. This level of contradiction is the dominant discourse of most media in our country, media that has a lot of influence. Yes.
Entonces, eso fue. Sí.
Alberto Fernández, en un Twitter, dice que es la República la que está en peligro.
Alberto Fernández, former president of Argentina, announced on Twitter, formerly known as X, that the Republic is in danger. It is strange because he himself caused this to happen. As you yourself say, we're facing a repression that can be very strong. For us in Chile, this issue has attracted our attention because this policy was implemented during the Pinochet dictatorship in Chile. They did the same thing: privatization, removal of labor laws, destruction of national industry, and many other things. These are exactly the actions that Milei had proposed. And finally, this will lead to public disgust. How can one confront these measures by aligning popular movements?
De repudio, no, de contradicción con los sectores populares. ¿Cómo es posible enfrentarlo esto dotando al movimiento popular de una dirección?
Alignment in the social and political context, for example, the important parts of Peronism that can play a role. They have to correct some things. And finally, the Communist Party and the Liberty Party of Argentina.
Que tendrá que rectificar algunas cosas, ¿no? ¿Qué pasa con el Partido Comunista, con el Partido de la Liberación de Argentina? En fin.
No, claramente este escenario,
clearly, the protests will have a different form in terms of political guidance. It is clear that in the previous government, there are sections that claim to be leftist and participate in the government of Albert Fernandez. And today, they're in the same political environment that is currently called Union for the Fatherland. But what one sees is how some sectors are disintegrating and reorganizing in the face of this onslaught from Milei. As you rightly point out, previously, programs of this depth were only implemented by dictatorial regimes. In many ways, it's very similar to what Carlos Menem did here. But in this case, the immediate effects of the actions are too difficult for the majority of people. In this situation, one can see that a trend will definitely change the makeup of the political scene. So, similar to what we saw in 2001, and we saw the formation of a political management for the demonstrations, I mean, the demonstrations that were very large and inclusive, and there was a lot of participation in them, we also saw a similar situation in Chile a few years ago. Demonstrations that are very crowded, extensive, demanding, and have a clear program. But it was able to lead a political process of autonomy, independence, social freedom in the society in which the majority has the authority of its own destiny. This will definitely happen. Until today, apart from the words that are being said, we have not seen larger-scale demonstrations by the Communist Party. In the field of Peronists and groups that are closer to popular demands and have planned demands regarding national independence and the working class as a fundamental part, we have not seen them play a significant role until this moment. Of course, they are changing the situation and defining new positions in facing the new arena. Also, it does not seem practical that some small and new organizations can enter the field of struggle against this extreme brutality in Argentina. The proposed programs are very reactionary and related to the 19th and early 20th centuries.
Te pregunto lo siguiente, mira, las medidas que está tomando Milei son tan antinacionales.
Yes, I will ask you the next question. Milei's actions are so anti-national, they are so in the interests of imperialism. Even regarding lithium, he recently announced that he will definitely hand over lithium to the Americans.
A la propiedad sin ningún tipo de cómo se llama, de traba ninguna, ni beneficio casi para Argentina.
He even wants a special law to protect Americans and their property. And this law has almost no benefit for Argentina. Therefore, it is true that the policy of Milei hurts the poor, workers, and ethnic groups, but they also harm the small and medium bourgeoisie, and even the big bourgeoisie and part of the company owners. With all due respect, what it looks like from here is the creation of a great anti-imperialist front, because what is happening in Argentina is not unrelated to what is happening in the world around the conflict between American imperialism and us. They want us to surrender and not let a new relationship between countries be established.
Y llevarnos a impedir, ¿no?, que simplemente se cree una nueva relación entre los países.
Eso es muy claro.
This is very clear. The country's submission to U.S. policy is quite clear. This is very obvious with the example you provided. We're witnessing the dismantling of the law of restricting the right to purchase land by foreigners who are allowed to buy water areas, rivers, and various resources of the country. They call this freedom. This is the literature of the extreme right all over the world. But clearly, here, beyond what seems like rhetoric, these actions mean the imposition of the great ambitions of imperialism, subduing the economy based on their own needs and eliminating any kind of national production, although the bourgeoisie in Argentina in recent times have not been distinctly nationalist, and their sections that have interests. Domestic markets give them life, as well as some others who try to maintain some degree of self-sufficiency in production, and see that they're now practically eliminated. Therefore, there is no question about creating a front that can stand in the face of these issues and the type of personality that makes this possible in the anti-imperialist personality.
We have 1 minute left, and in this short time, we would like to hear your words, please, and we would like them to be focused on the academic world, which we in Chile and many Latin American countries have a lot of respect for, because it is free and very inclusive. Please let me know what you think about this. How does this section get damaged?
Yes, without a doubt. So far, what is clear is that the budget is going to be cut, and the resources will only be there until March or April, both in the practical system and in public universities. This means the disarmament of Argentina in a very necessary case, which is the discussion of identity construction and education of scientists, researchers, and artists in public universities. This is marginalizing people who play an irreplaceable role in building the country. They want to bring them under the law of the market, in which the strongest is American imperialism.
El más fuerte es claramente el imperio norteamericano.
Así es.
Yes, that's right. We are looking forward to hearing new things in the news, and I believe that will surely happen because the Argentine nation has a history of very hard and breathtaking struggles. And we wish for complete success in defending national sovereignty in the form of an anti-imperialist personality against this pro-American and pro-Zionist government. Jorge Ramirez, thank you very much. This is Black and White.
Thank you very much for the invitation that gave me the opportunity to describe what is happening in Argentina. The oppressed nations of the world should start a joint struggle from every region. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Hossein Latifi and you're listening to a program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In this program, we talk about different dimensions and perspectives about the concept of humanity in the Holy Quran. And in the previous episodes, we ended up talking about the relationship between reason and intellect and hawa, the base desires of the in the human soul. And we talked about how following hawa, base desires only, and not considering the advice of the reason, restrictions of the reason, how that behavior leads a person towards corruption. And we said corruption means when things are not in the place that they are supposed to be and they are not functioning well. And we said when we talk about a person in the social rank, in the social system, being in certain position, doesn't mean exactly in terms of spirituality they're different, according to the verses of the Holy Quran. Only through piety Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges people, not through the social rank that they have. So these things actually are the duties that we have. Imam Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam says, وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ عَمَلَكَ لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ بِتُعْمَ لَيْسَ لَكَ بِتُعْمَ. The amal, ummal, and amal in Arabic, it is in a certain context, means that when a person is given an official position, a promotion in position, for example, especially when it is about governmental duties, Amir al-Mu'mineen says, know that the thing that you have been given, the career that you have, the position that you have, whatever position that you have, it's not ta'ma, it's not some prey that now you have gained and you should be happy that. No, this is, وَإِنَّمَا فِي عُنُقِكَ. It is a responsibility in your around your neck. It is a burden on your shoulder. In another hadith from the Prophet ﷺ, كُلُّكُمْ رَا وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْئُولَ عَنْ رَعِيَتِهِ. All of you are responsible. It's not a person, it's not like a person says, okay, I am, what I do, I'm not an official, I'm not responsible. No, the Prophet says, whatever position that you have, whatever role that you have in a family, in society, in your community, if you're father, if you're mother, if you're brother, if you're a sister, we all have different roles. And according to these roles, we have responsibilities and we will be held accountable based on this. We cannot turn the blind eye on the responsibilities and the roles that we have. So, and the corruption starts when people are not functioning well in the responsibilities and the roles that they have, and that is the result of following the desire, may Allah forbid, not listening to the advice of the reason. Now, another verse that talks another situation with the reason is that when people fall because of following, they have a good rank, spiritually speaking, they have a good position in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But unfortunately, because of hawa, because of following their base desire, they fall. And the beauty of the thing is that, beauty of the story is that the word hawa also means falling. When najm idha hawa, when the stars set, they fall, as if they fall in the, when they said, مَا ظَلَّ صَحَبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى وَمَا يَنْتَقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى. He does not talk out of the desire. Both words, hawa. So, following the desire makes a person fall. We will have a break and come back to see what verse in the Holy Quran talk about falling because of following the base desire.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. This is Hossein Latifi, and you're listening to a program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. We were supposed to talk about the verse that talks about when a person falls from the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of following the desire. And the verse is a famous one, the story of a person who had been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a certain position. وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ الَّذِي آتَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِنَا. Tell them the story of a person from previous nations. He had been given ayat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some miracles he had been given. According to the hadith that we have, his prayers would be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and people would come to him to ask him to pray for them, then the prayer would be accepted. And then in a situation, unfortunately, he fell, meaning that he couldn't pass the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he followed his own desire. And Quran says, tell them the story of the one whom we had blessed with our verses, with our ayat, the signs, here meaning miracles, فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا, and it was taken away from him. And the next verse says, وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَرَفَعْنَاهُ بِهَا, if had we wished, based on his performance, we could have taken him up, we could have elevate him based on his practice. But because of his wrongdoing, وَلَكِنَّهُ أَخْلَدَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ, he got attached, he is stuck. He was stuck to the earth, وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَى, and he followed his base desire. And the Quran says the analogy and the example of such person is like a dog. When you attack him, or take care of him, doesn't matter, lolls out his tongue and just dangling from his mouth. It's like he does the same behavior, doesn't matter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him ayat, evidences, proofs, blessings, miracles, doesn't make a difference. In all situations, unfortunately, he follows the desire. So the verse is, وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَى, because of following the desire, he fell. from the position that he had, the spiritual position. Unfortunately, this is one of the consequences of following the desire, that it eradicates, it destroys the previous efforts that a person has made. Also, we have this in the story of Iblis, Shaitan, that because of takabbur, later on we see takabbur, conceit is one of the main desires that some people have, unfortunately. And he destroyed all the previous actions that he had, unfortunately. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us not to fall into the trap of following the base desires, especially in a situation that we should be more careful. Sometimes you are at the center of attention and then you have to be more careful, and we all also have to be more careful not to fall into the trap of following our desires when it is needed. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to know the true teachings of Islam. Thank you very much for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Nabi, sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala ali Nabi. Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Nabi, sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala ali Nabi.
The Puzzle of Life. The Sound of Living. Only sound will endure. IRIB English Radio.
The limelight.
The former U.S. President and Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump has a long history of racist statements, having launched his successful 2016 presidential campaign by describing undocumented migrants crossing the southern border with Mexico as rapists and drug dealers. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The British newspaper The Guardian has covered this story and tells us more. 33 people attempting to cross the US border with Mexico drowned in the Pacific Ocean near San Diego after the Trump administration nearly doubled the height of the walls along the southern border, a staggering increase from previous years. According to a study published recently, the number of drownings rose by 3,200%. From 2020 to 2023, compared to 2016 to 2019, when just one person drowned. By 2019, the Trump administration had elevated the barriers around San Diego from 17 feet to 30 feet. The expansion has had significant impacts and a major human toll. In addition to the drowning deaths, a 2022 study found an unprecedented increase in border wall falls and deaths. Donald Trump campaigned on the so-called promise of securing America's borders while routinely demonizing immigrants, and work on the border barrier has continued under the Biden administration. Last year, doctors in San Diego saw more than 400 patients who had been seriously injured at the border wall, a significant increase from 2022. Nearly all of the injuries occurred from people falling off the wall onto the U.S. side of the border. The authors of the study published in the JAMA Journal recently suspected that the increased risk associated with the border barrier may have encouraged people to try to enter the United States by water, which resulted in more deaths. They found a significant rise in deaths in San Diego, where the wall stretches across the sand into the water at Imperial Beach, as well as a 30% rise in drowning deaths in canals and a 133% increase in deaths in all other bodies of water. Drownings along the Rio Grande River, where there is largely no wall, remained almost unchanged. The authors of the report, Anna Lucia, a medical student at the University of California at San Diego, and Peter Lindholm, a professor at the same university, began exploring the issue after Anna Lucia noticed a lack of information on drowning deaths of people trying to cross the border. They had been looking at the occupational health of lifeguards and other workers. Lucia said in a statement from the University of California at San Diego, the lifeguards showed us a presentation on migrant rescues they were performing because of potential human smuggling. Their stories weren't showing up in the news, and the numbers struck me as odd. Anna Lucia looked at data on the drowning deaths within government data sets, but it was not readily available and missing critical information. She and Professor Peter Lindholm ultimately collected data from the Missing Migrants Project, which included the date and coordinates of drownings as well as the number of people who had died. The authors of the report plan to expand their research to better understand the rise in deaths, but Professor Lindholm said the increase is unlikely due only to an increase in immigration. He said, looking at the numbers, you can see that it's about the same in the Rio Grande River, and it's a little more, but not extraordinarily more, in the ditches and canals. He added, we don't have absolute data on how many people migrated, but if the numbers of drownings was related to the rate of immigration, you would probably have a similar increase at all places. The website Reddit has also covered the same story and tells us more. Reaching for racist rhetoric, bizarre even for him, Donald Trump compared undocumented migrants to the United States to Hannibal Lecter, the serial killer and cannibal famously played by Sir Anthony Hopkins in the Oscar-winning 1991 film The Silence of the Lambs. The former U.S. president and Republican presidential nominee claimed in an interview with Right Side Broadcasting Network on Monday, 4th of March, they're rough people, in many cases from jails, prisons, from mental institutions, insane asylums, adding, you know, insane asylums, that Silence of the Lambs stuff, Hannibal Lecter, anybody know Hannibal Lecter? To laughter from the audience at his Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida, Trump added, we don't want them in this country. Trump has made such statements before, including in his speech at the Conservative Political Action Conference in Maryland last month. As framed to Right Side, They were the latest piece of extremist and dehumanizing invective from a candidate seeking to make immigration a core issue of the 2024 presidential campaign. Donald Trump has a long history of such racist statements, having launched a successful 2016 presidential campaign by describing Mexicans crossing the southern border into the U.S. as rapists and drug dealers. His liking for Hannibal Lecter led him to claim at a rally last October that the actor who played the character said on television, "I love Donald Trump, so I love him." Anthony Hopkins has not publicly said he loves Donald Trump. In 2018 he said, "I don't vote because I don't trust anyone." Brian Cox, another actor to have played Hannibal Lecter on screen, has called Trump an idiot person. In 2016, Mads Mikkelsen, who played Hannibal Lecter on television, told CBS News that though he could definitely laugh at some of the stuff that Donald Trump has said, he can also go, "Oh my God, did he really say that?" Donald Trump is an alleged serial offender facing 91 criminal charges as he runs for office. Yet despite those charges, 17 of them for election subversion, 40 of them for retention of classified information, and 34 for hush money payments to a movie actress, and multi-million dollar civil penalties over his business affairs and a rape allegation, a judge called substantially true, Trump dominates the Republican primary. He also leads Joe Biden in most general election polling. Surveys subject to warnings from experts about sampling techniques and accuracy so far out from election day. As in his successful run for president in 2016, Trump is seeking to use problems at the southern border with Mexico, high numbers of arrivals from Central America, presented as a crisis, either real or not, as a central campaign issue. At his direction, Senate Republicans sank a bipartisan deal on border and immigration reform. House Republicans have refused to move on the issue. President Biden has sought to emphasize Trump and Republicans' refusal to work on solving the border problem. President Biden's campaign has also repeatedly slammed Donald Trump for using far-right fascistic language when discussing migrants, including a repeated claim that migrants are poisoning the blood of America. The Biden campaign directly compared those remarks to Adolf Hitler's rhetoric during his rise to power in Germany.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to IRIB English Radio, where we will be exploring the Islamic upbringing of children and youth, guided by the wisdom of the Quran and the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt. Today we are honored to have Sister Salma Khalfan, a distinguished Islamic researcher, with us to shed some light on this important subject. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Salma, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you so much for having me over.
So we had been discussing about the question in the previous episode, which was, this lady saying that her 15-year-old daughter doesn't connect with her, doesn't talk with her, and she doesn't know what she's going through, and that the daughter feels that she's nagging very much. So how to make this relationship better in order for the daughter to confide in her? And you said that, you know, sometimes they become aloof because they want their independence, or because maybe the parents are not active listeners, or the mother has to try and make the girl feel more reassured and that she should feel that empathy when, you know, confiding with her mother.
And also that calmness of the behavior should be felt so that they can come out with what problem they have.
Yeah.
Now, as when they start talking, then there should be no judgments passed. For example, but I think this way, or this is the case. Mm-hmm. No. Or there should be no advice given.
Don't straight you think, away?
Yeah. No advice given, or there should be no arguments done. Why did you do that? No. It should be just listening.
Okay.
Listening with an open mind. And then, you know, when they listen with empathy and share, and probably something that maybe it's very difficult for them to, feel very bad about on account of that, then the parents should even agree to that. Say that it must be very hard for you.
Yeah.
I can imagine what you must be going through. So this understanding, this empathy is very important for them. That's the first step.
Okay.
So they may then tell, then they may see, then they may ask for guidance also and ask them, what do you think should be done? Once you get that, what do you think should be done? Then you can offer your very, very, you know, like polite and loving guidance. That you don't want them to go astray. If they don't ask, then you can tell them at the end, after posing a lot,
Yeah. Then
don't you think that if, for example, you would do this or you would go about this way, this is being very careful, you see.
It's like you're trying to make them reach the conclusion by themselves just by you guiding them slowly.
As you, they should take the conclusion themselves. Yeah. That's a very important point you said, that then they'll really enjoy doing that.
They feel they made the decision.
They made the decision, exactly. There are so many problems that they might be facing in school, for example. You know, maybe their grades are not proper. Maybe their friends tease them a lot or something like that. Then they are just like, perplexed of how to go about it. What to do? What do they answer back? Or do they keep quiet? Things like that can be discussed at length with the parent, whatever she deems that is right according to the Islamic way and the human way. Okay, then they can be guided right, and of course, then make them so feel confident and get so much reassurance and love from the family that they don't even need it from outside.
Very true.
You know, they feel so full of that love that they can now give that love.
Definitely,
they don't need to receive it and be reassured.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be that they are hungry for that love. You should give them those ounces of love that they feel that they can tackle with any kind of problem because they have a strong hold with them.
Yeah, there's something to lean on.
Yeah.
Definitely. So we're just going to take a quick break and we'll be back soon.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back to IRIB English Radio, and we have been discussing about one of the questions about how the lady wanted to connect with her daughter. And one of the very important things you said was the calmness in the behavior that you have with the child. And when the child starts to open up, you don't have to be judgmental or give advices straight away or start arguments. Rather, just try and listen and they will slowly, open up. And it's kind of you're going to let them reach the conclusion on their own.
That's right.
Yeah.
Another way to actually enhance this conversation and talking with a daughter who is like remains aloof. In fact, this is a bit rare because many daughters want to speak a lot to their parents. Only sometimes really, you know, the parents don't have time for the children, or they don't show proper empathy, or they feel that, it, you know, this is secondhand for them. Like, they're always there, they take it for granted, the children, the parents take it for granted. They don't consciously do things for the children to make them feel that now, okay, they're going through a phase, they need more, you see?
Yeah.
Like, oh, a child who's reaching the teenage age has so many changes going on, body, hormonal changes, thought changes, feelings, emotions, all these things change rapidly. So at this time they themselves don't understand certain things and they become frustrated. So they want so much support, and the parents, they just see that this is an everyday thing. My child is growing up in front of me.
Yeah.
They don't realize that there's a big shift from childhood to now teenage years between adulthood and a child is the teenage, you see?
Yeah.
Between an adult and a child is the teenage phase. So don't realize this, so they take it for granted. So it happens so that things keep on going and building up, and then becomes a relationship that is so like, you know, icy cold. When they grow up, they get married, they remain aloof, and life goes on like that, instead of that warmth to be there always, and that love and that caring and the dua exchanging of each other. Even the child doesn't feel like praying so much for the mother or being with the mother, remembering the mother or the parents, for instance. The father, even the mother can cover up for the father. That much she's strong, you know. Like if the father is not around, the mother can cover up and compensate and even talk good of the father that he doesn't have time, but he loves you so much. So the child will always feel that, yeah, I have a reassurance there that my parents love me. Because so at some point in time, the father will show the love. Of course, he didn't have time so much to be with together with the children. But then he will feel like wanting, and he will want it to be reciprocated also.
Definitely.
And even he'll get icy reciprocation, he'll feel bad about it. So the mother is the one to do all this. Now here, very important point is for her to be positive.
Yeah.
Positive attitude is very important in every kind of way, that it opens up the areas of conversation. For example, if I'm negative in everything, oh, today it was so cold, oh, I'm so sick, okay, oh, I can't bear it now, I have to sleep, I'm tired, oh, I can't cook, you people do it yourself, or things like that, or the floor is so dirty, it's so messy, or your room is always dirty, tidy your room.
Negative energy.
Negative, oh, this person did this, or, oh, look at this, it's so late, oh, you've come so late, all these negative things pile up for a negative behavior and for that anxiety to be filled in the air, the atmosphere. So you should be like always positive.
Mm.
Always. Oh, like for example, if the daughter looks good, today you look very nice. Or suddenly, oh, you look too happy now, alhamdulillah. Or you prayed very nicely. Or for example, you look very clean.
Mm.
Or your bath has made you fresh. Or for example, this so-and-so person did this to me. Or what a nice handbag that person had, yeah? Everything should be in the positive way. So ultimately, the child learns positivity rather than negativity and no complaints.
Very true.
So positivity is too important in every way. In fact, our religion teaches a lot about positivity. We can talk that later on.
Yeah, inshallah. Thank you. We're just going to take a short break and we'll be back soon.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, honor your children and teach them good manners.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات.
Welcome back, dear listeners, and we have been discussing about how to create this bond between a mother and child so that they're able to confide. And the last thing you mentioned, Sister Salma, was that you know, they're going through so many changes in their life, they need that support, and so the parents have to try and keep like a positive environment, you know, give positive comments, because that's going to really affect their the child's like happiness
moods.
And moods, and yeah, definitely.
So even in our religion of Islam, we are told to be so positive. For example, if you've sinned, Allah says, I'll still accept it, as long as you are not doing it purposely. Purposely means to anger Allah. I'm doing something to anger Allah. I think 99% of the humans don't have this in their intention, that I want to anger Allah, that's why I'm doing this. So how to be hopeful of Allah's mercy? When there's a hadith that says that however my servant thinks of me, I'm that way for him. So if I think that he's loving me, attending to me, and forgiving my mistakes, and knowing my weaknesses, maybe if I commit some mistakes or sins, so he knows this is my weakness, so he'll still give me other chances. Though I always, when I do tawbah, I have to tell myself, no, I won't return back to that sin. But Allah is too compassionate. So, all these things are so positive. Mm-hmm. Our deen, Islam, is so positive. So, Allah is teaching us that, be positive in your character, so your attitude at home, with all those around you, give that air of positivity to your children so that they even can learn that and become successful and not become disheartened or anxious about little things. They will know a window to get out of that situation.
Definitely. And I think that's, like you said, that's what Islam is all about. And that's why one of the bigger, greater sins, very important ones, was, doing yes, losing hope in Allah. Allah wants us to constantly have hope in Him, that we can always turn back to Him no matter what situation we're in. So I think that's very, very important for youth to know, because that is why, suicide rates are going high, or, other, getting into addictions. When you have this kind of pure source to turn to all the time, you kind of realize that nothing else is more important, and you will turn to Him.
Yeah.
And like you said, all of these things are what's going to cultivate and make you go towards that pure Lord.
That's true.
Kind of forget that these other things are not as important.
Exactly. So positivity should be inculcated in a teenager who wants to have an open conversation, like to the parent. The parent wants, to have an open conversation, a good conversation, a friendly conversation, a loving, empathetic conversation. So they should be positive, to give that feeling out of positivity, so that the child knows that even if I talk to my parents, they'll be positive about me. They won't be looking at my negative aspects. They won't complain and say, they'll look at the good half side of the beauty of it.
Yeah.
So inshallah, we also look at it and look at all the teachings of our religion and go towards this, so that we can bring our children to become our good companions and
definitely
our friends. Yeah.
And I think it's actually not so difficult to open up with your teenagers. I remember when I used to teach, sometimes some teenagers, they would be very aloof, but it's not so difficult to, kind of tap into their feelings. You just have to show your compassionate side. You have to show that you'll give them time. You're not going to judge them. All of these things make them feel that they can confide in you.
Yeah.
So, inshallah, that all parents are become such that all their children.
The thing is, only the parents sometimes close their minds to the fact that they were young one day. So if we open our minds one day that we were young and how we were feeling, then, and get to their minds, then we would be able to have a very good rapport.
Definitely.
Very good, relationship.
Inshallah. So thank you so much for joining us today. The discussion was very fruitful. And dear listeners, thank you very much for listening. And this was IRIB English Radio, where we had a discussion on child upbringing. If you want to listen to our programs or get more information, you can log on to parstoday.ir/en under the tab COI, which is Call of Islam. And if you type in Call of Islam Radio, you can find it on YouTube and Instagram. And you can also email us on englishradio@irib.ir. God bless you all.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kHz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
The saint of the soil, from the blood and the ashes, it speaks with me the sound of the rain, from the battle and the victory.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.